people talk about how development in Bitcoin is slow, and that we, you know, it's really opposite to the mantra of move fast and break things, but it's also permissionless. And these three people are all building applications on top of Bitcoin in a permissionless way, each on the Lightning Network. So we've got Lisa Nygut. Lisa is a C Lightning protocol engineer at Blockstream. Before, she was a backend engineer at Square or Block, formerly known as Square. And she's also the chief explaining officer, I believe, at the best education, Bitcoin education company in the world called Base 58. And Lisa is a graduate of the University of Texas here in Austin. And it's really special. Lisa's just down the road in Houston. And thank you so much for coming up here to Austin to share what you're building on Lightning today. We've got Rockstar Dev, otherwise known as Uncle to many of you. Rockstar, in addition to being a core contributor to BTC Pay Server, which is an open source payments processor, is also the VP of engineering at Strike. So Jack Mahlers was up here before talking about global monetary interoperability. Rockstar will be talking about more of what they're actually actively developing at Strike and how they think about developing on top of Lightning. And then we've also got Miles Suter, who is a product lead on the Bitcoin side at the Cash App, which is a subsidiary of Block, or formerly known as Square. Still just not, it's going to get there. Okay, it's going to get there. He's also a contributor at Spiral BTC. Cash App recently launched the ability for their users to access Lightning. So this will be, you know, a great talk about one of the ways that a lot of people are working to build and scale Bitcoin and help make it easier to move Bitcoin around the world. So with that, I'll bring you guys up and Matt O'Dell will lead the discussion. So one of our mics is gone. Lisa, you want to sit here? Matt, you over here. Matt, you're there.
Mic.
So use that mic.
Under his feet, though. Use the mic.
We good on mics? Okay, awesome. So we're very fortunate to have all these great people up here with us today to talk about Lightning and the future of Lightning. What's really interesting, and Parker kind of touched on it, is on when we're talking about Bitcoin, when we're talking about on-chain Bitcoin, the protocol, right now it's dominated by a single implementation. But with Lightning, we started with a multi-implementation approach. And the idea is that you have multiple different teams that are working on Lightning and that they're all cross-compatible with each other. So we have Lisa here. She's working on C Lightning. We have Rockstar, who at Strike, they're building on LND. And then we have Miles at Cash App, who they're working on LDK. Which their open source team Spiral is taking the lead on that, and they've integrated that into Cash App. So we have three of the implementations. I think there are six implementations now.
It's always changing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe right. A little less than that.
Four major, yeah, I would say.
The majors, yeah.
So recently there's been a lot of drama with cross implementation work. Are we going to talk about that, or is that too juicy? How do you guys feel about that? Do you think, like, is a multi-implementation world of Lightning actually going to come to fruition, or is it going to just be dominated by a single implementation?
No, this is a question for Rockstar, right? Let's jump right in. Well, let's go. Yeah. Most disagreeable topic. My view, especially when it comes to Lightning, is it's a good thing, man. It's a good thing, especially because when it comes to Base blockchain and Bitcoin Core, you do not want a lot of disagreement. You want consensus. You want building slow. But when it comes to Lightning and what Lightning enables us, you want teams pushing the envelope, pushing the spec, which is what you see now with Bolt 12 and LNURL. I mean, LNURL, to me, I'm a huge fan of Fiat Jeff, and what he did with LNURL pushed the spec. right? It opened up new use cases, new opportunities. You can do things that you couldn't do before. So for me, the more implementations we have and the more market gets to decide, what wins in the long term, like I'm all for that, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree as well. I think that there you get different things out of the different implementations. And when we started LDK, we really wanted to create an implementation that's much more modular, much more customizable, and one that doesn't have like a VC-backed company behind it. So, I mean, I wish all the implementations well, and everybody's driving it forward in its own way. But we felt it was really important to have one that didn't have to like find a way to make money. It could just be sponsored for free at Blocks. So that was kind of a core part of why we kicked off LDK. And also that it's written in Rust. It seems to be the hot thing on the streets these days. Cash App was the first implementation to use it. And it's still quite new. We had Matt Corral fleshing it out and filling out some of the gaps as we're building out our product and doing it kind of hand in hand, which was a really, really cool experience. We started Spiral, known as Square Crypto, over 2 years ago with no expectation of collaboration or like using them. We spun it up just so they could benefit the entire ecosystem. But as we started to look into Lightning, as they were getting closer to being able to ship something to production, the timing really aligned nicely. And so just having that expertise and being able to lean on them and work as a team in the same Slack channel, theoretically in the same building if we weren't all remote, it was a really, really cool thing to see. And I think that cross-pollination is something we're really excited about at Block.
Yeah, and as someone, so I've been involved in the Lightning spec process since late 2018, which is like, it's starting to become a while now. I have to say that like having Matt Corallo and the rest of the Spiral team become more involved in the spec process over the last couple of years has been a huge benefit, I think, to the spec and to the things that we focus on adding and improving in the Lightning Network. So I think, Matt, like your first, I think your question was like, does it work? And I think the reality is that, yeah, it does work, right? There are like a couple different Lightning implementations and they do all, for the most part, play well together. You can run them, you can open channels between them. And so I think that like, if you want to just kind of like, you know, draw a line in the sand and say, did it work? Was it successful? I think like, yes, I think it was very successful. And we have like a bunch of big companies now that are able to, that are sponsoring and really growing, I think, practices of engineers that have deep experience in exactly how Lightning works and are like distributed, right? They have different sources of funding. They kind of have different mandates as organizations around what they're focused on. Like one thing that I feel like I've seen come out of the Spiral team, especially through Matt's like leadership there, is a real focus on like, what does the Lightning experience look like on mobile apps, right? So kind of like, what is the light client Lightning experience? And like the Spiral team, and also to be fair, the Async Eclair team, they're based out of France. They don't get as much representation in American Bitcoin situations because they are located in Europe. But they have also, along with Spiral, really been pushing forward the mobile use case and what we need to add to the protocol across the board to make it more possible for mobile users to use. So yeah, I think there's, you know, I think it's a distributed protocol, or wants to be, like aspires to be one of the most, and I actually think Lightning is like honestly the most distributed layer two crypto project that exists in the entire space. And it is that because we tried to do the spec process and we put a lot of time, energy, and effort across a bunch of different teams to like spin up different implementations, et cetera. So yeah, I think it's been a success so far.
Yeah, I mean, I apologize a little bit for just coming off swinging.
Let's go.
I'm kind of, can you explain what that spec process looks like? Lisa?
This is me. Yeah. Yes, I can explain what the process looks like. So the general idea, so for those of you who aren't familiar with Spark processes, and I would assume most of us are not, I wasn't until I started working on Lightning, the whole idea behind having a specification. So the way I like to describe it is there's like kind of like almost like tiers of like difficulty in open source software. Tier one is like you write some software and then you open source it. So writing software and like having a working thing is really difficult, and shipping that is like, I think, its own level of like a difficult thing. Thing about a spec, I would say, is kind of one level more difficult in that you're not just writing software, you're also writing a whole set of instructions about how to re-implement that software you just wrote. So it's like very detailed instructions about how to recreate the thing that you've just written and published, but you do it in a group setting. So it's not just you alone writing code. You talk to a bunch of others. So you write the instructions kind of by yourself or whatever, but then you send it to a committee of other people, and you have to convince one of them to also go through these like written instructions and re-implement what you've done on their own, probably in a different language, from the written instructions that you've written down. And then you take the two different software these are all open source software, so it's multiple open source projects. You take these two, you point them at each other and like, okay, do they interoperate? And if it does work, then once that's happened, once both teams have successfully implemented this like written down from the written down description of the spec of like the process the software should follow, et cetera. Once you've got two teams in Lightning, so there's like four implementations. The current process is once you have two teams that have implemented this like written down instruction set, the other side's verified, hey, it looks good. We've gone through a bit of a review process, both on the code as well as like the written instruction set, right? Like in English. At that point, we say, okay, this spec is like considered part of the protocol. So it's like, I would say it's like much more rigorous than just writing code and shipping it and building traction and getting users, et cetera. Like you have to do all that on top of this, but there's also this sort of rigorous peer review, peer process that spec stuff for Lightning goes through.
Yeah, and the four implementations are LND, C Lightning, Eclair, and then now LDK, right?
Right. Eclair was what we were talking about earlier, async.
Yeah. Because for me, when we talk about specs, maybe that's where your first question comes in. Or like, are we at the point where the consensus on a spec level and advance is possible? And I would say, yeah, we're getting there where it like it won't be possible. But
what does that mean?
It means that you will start having features implemented that, if they get mainstream adoptions, then other implementations will add it instead of first agreeing on spec and then implementing. So, but for me, that's a natural process that you see in anything that becomes popular. And Lightning now, I mean, there was this meme, what, like 2 years ago, Lightning doesn't exist, whatnot. Like Lightning nowadays is not processing, like it's getting to the point where it's like hundreds of millions of dollars are settled across Lightning. Like it is in production. So just the whole ecosystem, the product is maturing, and we're getting to that point where like you had browser wars. So I don't think we'll have wars with different implementations, but I do see the
not
system.
Not yet, at least.
No. I see the system maturing, and then we will have other protocols. Like I know now CoinJoin is picking up those wars, but there is also like a CoinPool protocol as a spec is out. It's a proposal. So to me, the more alternative layer two protocols we have, the better, and then some of the drama will move there, and yeah, the system will mature.
In addition to like spec compatibility, I think there's an under kind of served area here in terms of product compatibility as well. Building on Bitcoin is hard just in and of itself. Building on Lightning's even harder just because of the complexity involved and the safety, like the need to be utmost secure throughout that whole process. That said, there's just basic wallet compatibility stuff for everybody building wallets right now that needs to get its act together. And hopefully, I've put together a matrix of like which wallets can send to other wallets, who defaults to zero amount invoices, who can't send to zero amount invoices, and it's just a real big mess. And it feels like if all of us wallets could talk to each other and kind of get on the same page and work a little bit more in unison, that could add a lot more cohesion to the ecosystem. And so that's just kind of like a basic thing on a product level before diving into even some of these deeper spec level things.
Hey, let's do it right now, man. What it is, like BIP21 with Lightning query string? Like,
I'm all about BIP21, so that's more
so
to come
you wanna,
there.
You want to explain BIP21 to the audience?
So BIP21 essentially lets you create it. You can have a one shared QR code with combining an on-chain and a Lightning invoice. Essentially, it looks like a Lightning invoice, but it has a fallback to an on-chain wallet address in there. I think that moving towards the standard will do a lot for just like increasing user adoption and making normies not have to think like, am I sending on-chain? Am I sending on Lightning? Is Lightning Bitcoin? Like, what the hell is even going on here? And so if you have one QR code, if I scan with a Lightning-only wallet, okay, cool. I'll take the fastest, cheapest option. I'll use Lightning. If I scan with a on-chain-only wallet, okay, I don't recognize that Lightning QR code, I'll fall back on that on-chain address, send it on-chain. And so in your bank account, you might, like your debit account, you might move funds in there via a variety of different ways. And you don't really care, like, is this an ACH? Is this like over wire? You just see money in, money out. And I think as a community, I think the North Star we should be working towards is just moving Bitcoin. And hopefully as we scale and as we get more users, we're using the faster, cheaper, more efficient layers. But if we're going to onboard 1 billion people, I think we need to make it really simpler, like much, much simpler. And ultimately, hopefully in due time, I think, we can abstract away like the need to call out Lightning at all. It's just moving Bitcoin.
Yeah, because I did BIP21 with Lightning in query string and BTC Pay server, like I coded that. But I know Lisa, if we are agreeing here, then I need to get that in Strike. You know? So what's your opinion on that one?
I'm going to be honest, this is the first time hearing about BIP21 with Lightning, yes. My understanding is that Lightning invoices, you can add a fallback address on chain. So sounds like, I mean, from my knowledge of the current invoicing system on Lightning, seems like we're probably running into an issue there where existing Bitcoin wallets can't parse Lightning invoices is a problem, right? So the data that you want is... that use case was considered when they wrote the Lightning spec, but the problem is that the wallet implementers don't offer a way to parse that data. So they've invented another spec called BIP21 that they were getting wallet people to implement.
BIP21 is like the oldest standard and it's backwards compatible, but it's mm-hmm. what you're saying is when Bolt 11 was done, mm-hmm. there was fallback address for on-chain address. Mm-hmm. Like this is the other way around and it's like the most backwards compatible. So there is this now conversation like, okay, what is unified QR code and are we in agreement on feature set that it offers? Because when we are talking about Bolt 12 now, there mm-hmm. is like a refund option and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. So I don't know. I need to see if I'm going with Miles, BIP21 Lightning, or I'm going fallback. Yeah.
It's. I mean, obviously there's got to be a lot of community discussion here and make sure all the wallets are compatible. My understanding is that there's a number of like Coinbase withdrawing from Coinbase to a unified QR code will break because they haven't implemented that correctly, but it should just be a small change for a lot of these consumer wallets to get BIP21 working properly.
Does Coinbase support withdrawal with Lightning?
No.
Okay.
No.
I see. Okay. So there's like no chance that they would understand like the Bolt 11 thing either. It's interesting. I mean, I think what you guys are highlighting is that I think there's a lot of work still to be done in the wallet space. I don't think that like as an industry, we've quite figured out exactly what the best user experience way to move that forward, like together, if that makes sense. And I think, honestly, I think there's like some of the most exciting stuff yet to be built is like this, like interop and like getting the experience exactly hammered out at the wallet level. And I think, you know, I work on the spec layer, which is to some extent, like a few layers beneath the wallet stuff. And I think having a lack of like a centralized, like at least forum for specs on wallet stuff, I think you can definitely tell through kind of all the, I wouldn't call it confusion, but all of the competing like specs, little like suggestions of how to move forward. the fact that there's not like a consortium, kind of like a consortium might be, I don't know if that's a good word or a bad word. But you know, at least like the when Lightning started as a protocol, like there were, we were, everyone was there together writing the spec together and agreed that that's what they were working towards as a group. Whereas I think on the wallet side, there hasn't been kind of that like cohesive clarity of like exactly what it should look like, if that makes sense. And like, you're trying to figure that out. I don't think anyone has like the right answer. But it is a little bit like that XKCD thing where you had a problem with like the previous specs, you made a new one. So there were 14 ways to do it. Now there's like 15 sort of thing. And I do think we see that happening a lot on the wallet side.
Yeah, that's why I'm thankful to people like Parker who organize these events to get these conversations started, because while we are transferring hundreds of millions of dollars across Lightning, there is still work to be done. So
I do want to, I was talking about how hard it was to work on Lightning a second ago, but I do want to just like give a huge shout out to everybody working on this, especially Jeff from Spiral. I just saw you over there. I didn't mean to leave you out earlier. But like three years ago at this point, maybe we're doing the Lightning Torch and trying to like stand up a node and get it all to work. And man, it was just like, so
what the hell is liquidity?
Yeah. It's like, what is inbound liquidity? Are you kidding me? And so seeing the slow, but steady progress and seeing this starting at the start of 2021, I think, but really progressing even more recently. It's just gotten so much more usable, so much more reliable. And it's a big testament to all the people working super hard on it.
I remember I was sending a payment to Miles, and I guess it was early 2019, and we were trying to figure out Lightning. And I sent him the first payment. It didn't work. Then we like did some channel management stuff. And then I sent him the second payment. It worked. We're like, yes, we got it. Then I went to send him the third payment and we ran out of liquidity and it didn't work. We're like, what the hell is going on here? It does feel like it's been a long time. And the whole space has moved forward tremendously. So, I mean, with the BIP21 thing specifically, since it just got brought up, I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about the wallets on the receiving side being able to display this new QR code. But it can also be solved on the opposite side with the sender. I mean, we see a Moon wallet with 2 U's taking the initiative there. I mean, you scan either side and it works. At what point does it just become tech debt to say, like, I need to support Copay wallet or, you know, some wallet that no one's used in 5 years because, you know, it doesn't know what a Lightning invoice is? Is that an actual thing that Bitcoiners should be thinking about, or are we supposed to support, you know, every wallet under the sun?
Whenever Copay is mentioned, like, I'm like, congrats to BitPay for taking like the wallet that was most advanced and running it into the ground, like with zero innovation. Yeah. I think it will be a natural process. Like you can only plan so much in advance. And that's what Lisa was saying. Whole Lightning spec, the work done there was amazing. It was like all the, you know, what does BOLT stand for? It's like improvement.
Basis of Lightning technology.
Basis of Lightning. There we go.
And well, now we got the basics down.
Yeah, basics. No, you need to get it out. Listen, man, I'm VP of engineering now. I'm not into small details. But it's like all those improvements, like they were agreed upon, and then it was like hard work of implementing it. And now we are there. I don't expect that we are going to have another chance to like all like duke it out. But we shouldn't look at that as a big problem. It's just, okay, let it go and grow organically and let it happen.
Yeah, I think there's, oh man, I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
No, I got you with BOLT.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but on the BOLT 21 piece, I believe it's like every wallet should support this, just some don't. And it's a very quick, easy change to support it. But as you're saying, it's like the most possible backwards compatible.
Is BIP21 the one that BitPay was trying to push forward? No, they got a 70, bunch of 70, oh, that was 70, 71, right?
Sorry. I remember what I wanted to say. I think going back to like spec process and the BIP 21 conversation, and like clearly this BIP thing, BIP 21 is a massive improvement to the user experience, and that like Miles was saying, it sort of helps abstract away like the implementation details of how you're moving Bitcoin around, which I think is definitely like a very worthy goal to get to from a user perspective. But you know, like all of these processes, like every spec is only as good as like the participation you get into it, right? And so, I mean, that's good for Lightning as well. Like we really need like everyone who wants to adhere to the spec process. Like you need like everyone like in the community participating, right? So there's like a little bit of like, you know, people have to like opt into participation. And when people stop participating in the process for whatever reason, maybe they're busy, maybe they've got like, you know, business reasons or like more pressing like material concerns of where they're spending their dev time, et cetera. Maybe they've got some competing reason why they don't want to make it happen, whatever. But, you know, really it's like everyone chipping in and participating and get excited about like the possibility of interoperation that really moves like all this like entire, you know, network forward.
Yeah. And I always now when I'm speaking, I say to prospective developers that want to get more involved, like maybe it's what Lisa is saying, this problem, that problem, but maybe you are already doing good work and it's just not publicized well enough. So if there are such people in the audience, yeah, talking about you, man, like reach out after this talk and let's see how to work together, because yeah, this is open source. Let's collaborate.
And I want to extend the invitation far beyond just engineers as well. A lot of this envisioned ideal user experience discussion is happening in the Bitcoin design community. And like if you're a designer, hop on in there and share your input. If you're just a normal user, hop on in there and share your input and help us kind of come to consensus. You don't have to be an engineer to have an opinion. There's all sorts of stakeholders in this environment, and certain people have strengths in certain areas. These two are deep in the engineering scene. I don't know what my strengths are exactly, but compared to them, but like there's a million ways to contribute, and maybe you just send 100 Lightning payments every day, but as a result of that, you know all the wallets, you know where the incompatibilities are, and you can help drive something forward that maybe then somebody else picks up and ultimately gets all the different wallets and the different implementations aligned and just build a much better global Lightning experience.
I mean, this has been a great conversation, guys. We're almost out of time. I figure we'll wrap up with final thoughts. Rockstar, final thoughts.
Just glad to be with all of you here and that we're, you know, participating in building history. Like when we look back on this event in a year or two, it will be like it happened here. Some agreements were made here. Someone had a aha moment. So just looking forward to this journey with you. Let's go. Marty, we will win.
Thanks, Rockstar. Lisa, final thoughts.
Okay, so I think Lightning is awesome. I think Lightning has a lot of potential to really prove itself as being like the true heart of the Web3 movement in terms of decentralization and like self-sovereignty. And I'm really excited about it. I'm also going to take 2 seconds to shill the fact that Base58, my Bitcoin transaction protocol class, just opened registration for our next class. So if you are really interested in finding out more about getting involved in how the Bitcoin protocol works, we do a 6-week class, and we'd really love to have you in our class. So check out our website at base58.info.
Thanks, Lisa. Really appreciate your work with Base58. Miles, final thoughts.
Prometheans versus Malthusians. Don't forget it.
Thanks, guys.